Bell. It's been a long time since the last time we threw out a Magic Cast at you, but we are back, and my, have how things have changed. We're talking Mercato. We've got the season coming up, which we'll get to in another show, but this Roma Cast is totally different. It's going to be a crazy, exciting year. And speaking of different, we've got a different La Magicast crew. I'm joined by Alex and Julian, as always, but we've also brought in Imran, who you may know on Twitter as Il Capitano Va. And so, Imran, welcome to the crew.
Thank you, thank you.
Julian, Alex, how are you guys doing?
Well, how are you doing, Gregory?
Outstanding, as always.
Fantastic, glad to hear it.
Alex, what about you, buddy?
I'm good.
All right, so much happened. So much happened on the last day of the transfer period and the last 2 days of the transfer period and the last week leading up to the end of the transfer period. Where do we start with this when we look at the team that Roma is going to take into the 2011-2012 season?
All right, so if you guys don't mind, I'm just going to read out. I think we should do this in two parts. We should probably do departures and then acquisitions.
Yeah, do departures. Nobody cares about the team, that the players that left.
Agreed. So let's start with the acquisitions. Let's start with the departures. I didn't mean to step over you. Let's start with the departures. I'm just going to read them out. It's a long list. So here we go. Mexes, Castellini, Guillermo Berdiso, Loria, Risa, Guberti, Pettinari, Doni, Menez, Julio Sergio, Vucinic, Crescenzi, Fini, Stoyan, Bertolacci, Ante, and Brighi. I do not believe any of them went to the same club, except for Sini and Stoyan, who both went on loan to Bari. But that is a huge, huge list. Most of these we knew about before. I think since the last time we spoke, it's mostly loans have occurred. Bertolacci off to Lecce, Ante off to Grosseto, Righi, a surprising last-minute move to Atalanta. What do you guys make of this? How about we start off with Imran, since we don't often get to hear his opinion?
Well, I think to start with Mexes, it was clear quite early that he would leave, and it was a big blow because he had been part of the team for such a long time. He was like an adopted Roman, so it was a big loss. And but we were kind of expecting it because it had been dragging on for a while. And going on to Risa, it was more or less expected as well, especially after his poor form in the second half of the season, which more or less directly cost us the Champions League. Doni as well, it was pretty much clear at start, but he wanted a new goalkeeper. And Doni and his wages, you know, the salary, we had to get him off somehow from that wage budget. Menez, we knew already he was unsettled. He wasn't enjoying his best times, especially the very end of the season under Montella. So he could have stayed if things worked out for him, but we're not really surprised he left. And while for Vucinic, I would say it was kind of the same. He was awful during the second half of the season, and in the end, he pushed for that transfer throughout the whole summer, with his agent playing a big role as well. So although Sabatini and Luis Enrique, they appreciated his potential skills and everything, but I think he was a lost case from very early on. And with regards to the other, you mentioned Castellini and Guillermo Berdiso, I think it was pretty clear loan deals were never going to be made permanent, so fair enough. Moving on to Brighi, it was important to get him off that wage budget as well, I think, because he was never going to play an important role, especially with the acquisition of Gago and Pjanic on the last day. And I think I more or less covered them all, especially the most prominent ones.
Yeah, all right. Let's. I guess we can move on to acquisitions now. I'm kidding. Alex, this is quite a list. In your opinion, Alex, just so we don't have everyone repeating the same thing over and over, is there any players on this list that shouldn't have left that did?
No, I expected a big turnaround, and we got it. I mean, you could argue that Pestalacci should have stayed, but you know, we have a lot of exciting and promising players, and like Viviani and Caprari, even though not the most consistent players, showed, you know, that they could bring something to the table this season. And with Bartolacci as well, I guess it was a matter of, you know, you can't give them all enough playing time. So I'm quite satisfied with the way things went. Although I would rather sell Brighi and Julio Sergio instead of loaning them. But, you know, that's the market. If you can't sell them, it's perhaps better to loan them out.
Indeed. And, Gregory, do you think, I mean, looking at the squad, that was pretty much, if we take Mexes, Doni slash Julio Sergio, Risa, Vucinic, even Brighi, that was a huge chunk of the starting 11. Do you think maybe we changed too much of the spine in one summer?
If you ask Francesco, yes. If you ask everybody else, probably not. It is a devastating change. But at the same point in time, like this has to happen, right? They need this revolution to happen. They needed to get a new, you know, new players in that can play to the system, and you know, the players you mentioned, I mean, outside of, you know, I'm not going to go over Mexes and Vucinic, you know, Imran's already done that, and we've done it in past shows. We haven't really lost anything of supreme quality. So if you look at removing that part of the spine, as you call it, and replacing with equal or just different, you know, values in those places, then I don't think it's too big of a deal. The only issue the only comment I'll make about departures is the one departure that didn't happen, which is Borriello, that, you know, I was kind of hoping would happen, just to reduce the glut at forward and to remove those wages off the books.
Yeah, it's interesting because it seemed like Borriello was being pushed out, especially towards the end of the Mercato. And if you think about who he has to compete with, I mean, you figure Totti, Osvaldo, Bojan, Lamela, and I think I'm missing one. And then, I mean, I'm not going to really count Okaka or Borini, because for what it's worth, I honestly don't expect Borini to have much playing time at all. I was shocked he came in at the very end. But, I mean, we already have quite a few strikers. I guess the plus side with Borriello is he is, besides Totti, he's the only one even near 30. So if we do need an experienced guy up front, he definitely knows Serie A very well. So, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world to have him on the team, especially since it seems like he wants to prove himself. So I think a hungry Borriello would be a great asset to have.
Yeah, I'm just curious if it's if they wanted to let him go because they know he won't, you know, feature in the starting lineup and he will be a bench player, or this may be bringing, you know, the locker room issue up again. He might be a bad element there if he won't play enough. So I don't think we will see that much of Borriello this season. I think he will play, but I don't expect to see much of him, and I kind of hope you tell him in the next transfer window.
Yeah, I honestly don't see him getting a lot of time, and mostly because this system don't think works for him. I don't think it's one that takes advantage of kind of the things that he does, and conversely, what the system needs out of its forwards, he doesn't have. He's terrible with the ball. If he's not in a shooting position, you know, or directing the ball on goal, he's not very good, and he's a terrible dribbler, and he's a terrible passer. And these are kind of it's that flexibility, I think, that's required in this system. So when you look at some of the forwards we brought in, they're certainly much more agile in that regard in their ability to handle the ball and distribute the ball comfortably in and around the goal.
I think he's too clumsy to fit into the 4-3-3 formation. He doesn't have any movement to cooperate with the player playing laterally to him. So I think it's a big blow. We didn't get to offload him. And me, honestly, I really believe. I think even Borini will come in front of him in the pecking order, and that's first and foremost because we're investing in a youngster. We're loaning him. I think we have a plan for this Borini to play. He will play a part in the future. So I think it would be useless to keep him on the bench at Borriello's expense when we, especially all the efforts we put into Seb Borriello, and they didn't work out. So
yeah, that's a great point. I agree wholeheartedly. I think the Borini situation is one that, you know, we definitely want to keep an eye on, and I would not be surprised one bit if he winds up jumping on the depth chart.
You know, as long as Okaka doesn't play, I'm happy.
Agreed, 100%. We should actually mention something else. There was a lot of speculation if Daniele De Rossi was going to leave this summer. And, I mean, we've been doing the pod for a while now, and we've pretty much been saying that he either has to sign a new contract or we should sell him. And his contract expires next June. So we now risk losing him on a Bosman in January. And he didn't do either of those. He stayed at the club, but he has not signed a new contract. And obviously he didn't leave because he stayed at the club. So is this something that we have to worry about? Because it now seems like losing him is a real risk. He still refuses to sign a contract. And his personal problems are well known and well documented. Should we be concerned about losing Daniele De Rossi come January or next summer?
No. Me personally, I think it's a non-existing issue. I think he will renew his contract. It's just a matter of it's just a formality.
Greg, would you agree?
Emotionally, yes. I do have some concerns as to why it hasn't happened yet, especially when they were working on it. But I don't know if maybe he wants to play a few games and see how this team is and this whole new system and all these new players. I mean, I understand his, Roma till I die that he's always kind of professed, but you know, this is a huge change and, you know, may not necessarily want to be one that he wants to be a part of. Much like the play of the team, let's kind of let it play out. And I think that's what he's trying to do.
You know, I can't exclude the possibility that he won't sign and renew his contract. But I mean, if this was 1 year ago with Prada, I would be a lot very worried. Given, you know, the whole Maxis issue and letting Manes contract, you know, he just had 1 year. And De Rossi, I mean, all this is related to sloppy management from the previous years before the Roma revolution. But with Sabatini there and Baldini, I'm not as worried as I was before the market closed, because if they knew he really wanted to leave, they would have sold him to Manchester City. And since they didn't, I believe they have a plan, and this will lead to him signing a new contract. But I'm not convinced that he will, but I believe in it. So, you know, I will be shocked if he leaves for free. Not only shocked, I think he will be hated by the whole city he loves and comes from. So I think that will be a very shocking move by him as well.
Right. See, I guess I'm the more pessimistic of the group, because I assumed he was going to leave, but I always thought he would leave while he was still under contract, the way he could at least fetch, you know, a decent amount of money, and that would be his parting gift to the club. But I don't know. I'm not convinced he's going to sign a new contract. I don't see why he hasn't signed one up until now. is he holding, what is he holding out for? It's not like one hasn't been offered to him. It's all very suspicious to me. I don't know. I would love for him to stay. I just, the further this goes on, the less and less, you know, I can see that happening.
Contract renewals aren't bound by the transfer windows, right? They can,
correct.
These conversations can go on the entire year, right?
Right. I remember as soon as DiBenedetto came in, one of the first things that happened was Cassetti and Perotta got extensions.
Right.
In March or something. We were all talking about that. So
well, officially he wasn't the owner, so it was still kind of the old owner management. You know, they were responsible for those renewals.
Correct.
So, but the thing is, concerning De Rossi, you know, I think it's been too hectic at Trigoria. So, especially with the Mercato, you know, especially the last 2 weeks, because there were planned meeting with his agent. I think actually last week. And they were planning to have the contract ready and signed and wrapped up before the Serie A started, but then you had the strike. So, me personally, I honestly don't believe it's an issue. I think it's just a matter of formality. He will put the pen to the paper and commit himself, you know, because I think now it's now the time to be, you know, in Roma for the native Romans and the whole city. They are following this club like with more passion than ever, and especially with regards to the Mercato. I couldn't have been better, and it would be the worst possible timing for him to leave on. So I know there are personal issues involved in here, but I don't think they are as serious as some people want. I mean, he was chilling with a girl the other day, so I think.
Are you referring to the ass bite?
Yeah.
The ass bite.
We'll send pictures.
Paparazzi, you know, taking pictures. Yes, same man.
All right. Well, we'll have to post those with the pod, so everyone else can know what we're talking about. But so, for the most part, that was the departures. Any closing words, fellas? I just want to say, you know, thank you for your service to the team. I feel especially bad for Mexes, because I think him out of everyone could have happened so differently if conditions had been slightly changed. But as for everyone else, I think the break was about as natural as possible, and I think it's ready. It's time to move on.
Yep. Well said. Moving on. Let's get to the meat.
Okay, so we have a whole bunch of acquisitions to go over. So let's start from the very back, and we'll work our way forward. Goalie. So obviously,
yes.
I know, right? How would I get that from? Obviously, we let go of Doni and Julio Sergio over the window. Doni permanently, Sergio on loan. And we brought in Martin Stecklenburg and Gianluca Curci to form I would assume, the number one and two, with Labonte probably being third choice. I would assume.
I don't know, man.
Maybe Labonte is second choice, but...
Yeah, I think so. Curci played pretty poorly in the preseason.
Well, fair enough. I mean, and for the record, I'm pretty happy Labonte stayed. I think I had said this on the pod before, but I thought out of all three goalies last year, he was definitely the most underused, and I think he could still prove himself. So, but anyway, Greg, did we upgrade here for sure, or did we upgrade here for sure?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Stecklenburg is a world-class goalie, and, you know, the Netherlands is, you know, now a top three team in the FIFA rankings, and for, you know, take that for what it's worth. But they're obviously an international powerhouse now, and he's their number one. And it's a huge upgrade. There's also, you know, a certain intelligence that you're getting with him at the back, which in time will help the defense once they start figuring out how to work with each other. You know, the guys played, what, one and a half games or whatever for Roma so far, and hasn't really had much of a chance in anything. The one goal in the Europa League, he, you know, it was questionable whether he should have had it or not, but I have zero worries and doubts about Stecklenburg in that.
He's the best goalkeeper we've signed for more than two decades. It's even with regards to I wouldn't say the size of the transfer, but how prolific the signing was. Because as someone mentioned, he played the World Cup final last year. He has plenty of experience with him, from Ajax, and he was wanted by Manchester United as a replacement for Van der Sar and even Arsenal. So in the end, we go there and sign him, massive.
Yeah,
not only that, I mean, the price we got, I mean, I understand that his contract was coming up next year, but, I mean, that's a huge steal for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like I wrote in the article at the Norwegian website today. It's a good signing. It's a great signing, no matter how you look at it. You know, you can flip it upside down, it will still be good. In all aspects, he's cheap, he has experience, he comes at the perfect age, he's mature, he's ambitious, whatever you mentioned, he is the perfect signing. I will give him like 10 of 10, 6 of 6, whatever the max score is.
I don't think he can afford to lose out on Champions League the next two seasons. If we do, he will for sure leave us, especially after reading the interview, which was interesting words from him. He said it was counterproductive to be out of the Europa League. So he's certainly a winner, and he wants to win with Roma or play in the Champions League. But look at we have only 3 spots now, and if we lose out on Champions League this season, which is a very big risk for that, he's one of the players we probably will lose the first if we can't, you know, make this La Roma to be a successful club.
Yeah, Alex brings up a really interesting point in that, you know, we have quite a few impressive signings this season, but are they impressed because, you know, Roma is now a new kind of thing and the novelty is still there? Or, you know, if things don't go as well as they could, how many of these guys are going to want to transfer next season? Are Panik and, you know, we'll get to the other guys, you know, but are they going to want to stay if we finish sixth again with a new team? So, I mean, this could be a much bigger gamble than we thought. But we'll see. Going back to the Seklenberg transfer, I would agree. I think it's a great transfer. I know some people aren't convinced that he's a world-class goalie. They think he's very good but not great. And they point to things like the fact that he didn't save the goal that ultimately knocked us out of the Europa League at the home leg, you know, as being the difference between, say, a Gigi Buffon and then just a very solid goalie, one that keeps you in games versus one that, you know, doesn't always do that. But, I mean, there's no doubt that this is a massive upgrade over what we had last season. And in regards to that, especially at the price we got him at, I have no doubt this was a spectacular transfer. Let's move to the back of the team. And I guess we should start with fullback, because I think we all probably agree this was our biggest problem. So, in fullback, we let go of Risa and Castellini, I believe, were the two fullbacks we let go. And we brought in Cicinho, came back from loan, and we put in Diego, Jose Angel, and that's it. So we let go of two and brought in 3. Obviously, Nego and Angel are really young. Jose Angel looks like he's got a starting place right away. Nego hasn't really featured, and he could break into the team, who knows. But how do we feel? Have we upgraded the fullbacks sufficiently? For me, this is still this is the one area where I think we faltered a bit in the mercato, and I don't blame Sabatini because we had a lot to do in one summer, but I'm still not entirely convinced by our fullbacks. Greg, what do you think?
I'm not so sure I would go along with your saying that this was our biggest need. It was a need, but I think the way we railroaded the midfield play at the end of season review last year, that was my biggest concern, and something that I think we could get by with lesser fullbacks and not with the same midfield situation. So, but that being said, it's probably the weaker version of the same kind of move we tried to make in the 3 other areas of the pitch, or the 2 other areas outside of the defense. So, Jose Angel and Nego, I don't even know if you can count that as a signing. I don't know if that guy's even going to you know, play much. Cicinho comes back fine.
We also have to take into account that Heinze can also play fullback.
Yes, he can. He can, and I think that's one of the reasons why he was chosen, was for his flexibility in the back line. I think Angel is very, very dangerous going forward. I think he's got very good ball skills. He can make defenders miss in the attacking third, and then just like any other left back, he's weak going back. So I think he's an upgrade over what we had because of his ability to pressure going forward. But the back line's definitely going to be tested, and they need to work together.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Alex, what do you think?
For me, it looks like we signed a winger.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if we ever go to a 3-5 whatever or a 3-4 whatever, we're set.
But it begs the question, though, did we sign a player that was too much like Cicinho? Have we now have two starting fullbacks that are both so offensive that we're going to leave the center back exposed time and time again?
Yeah, well, I mean, then it's up to the system to find a solution for that. And
exactly.
And I think possession football and the way Luis Enrique thinks, I'm sure he has a good plan for it. So we have to, we have to let him have a chance with the new boys, and we'll see.
I think so too, because this is a player, after all, who was personally requested by Luis Enrique. So I think he would have an even more proper plan for him, detailed. He knows everything about him, and he plays for even his the club where Luis Enrique started his career. So I think he's been following him very closely.
All right. What about you, Julian?
I mean, the thing is, one thing I like in general about our Mercato is, I tweeted this earlier, but I'll say it in the podcast. Sabatini and Enrique had a vision, and they stuck with it throughout the whole Mercato. We were going to bet on youth, young, fast players who can play possession football. So to fit these ends, we brought in Jose Angel, Nego, and Cicinho, who's not really young, but he's quick for his age especially, and he's quite offensive. So do they fit the system? Yes. I'm still afraid that this is going to leave our center backs, whoever they're going to be, and we'll get to that in a second. I'm afraid it's going to leave them exposed. I would assume as of right now, our starting fullbacks are going to be Angel and Cicinho going into the season. I don't know if you guys would agree or not. Maybe Cassetti retains his place. But based on preseason, I'm going to assume it's them. And that worries me because we're going to have to bait if, Angel can improve at defense. I'm not convinced Cicinho will, but I don't know. I think it's maybe a bit too offensive. And, I mean, Risa had his problems defending. I mean, we can remember specific goals that Risa at the end of last season single-handedly let in for us. But I think it's an upgrade, a marginal one. And this, for me, like I said, this is still the biggest, in my opinion anyway, this is the biggest the weakest area of the team. I'll be interested to see how it plays out over the course of the season.
Yep.
Isn't Cicinho out for a couple of more weeks?
Is he? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
he pulled up lame in the Europa League
game. Right. That's right. I forgot about that. So I would guess maybe Cassetti plays with Angel, in which case I think it's a bit more balanced. You have one attacking flank, one a little bit more defensive.
You can always throw Bordiso out there if Simon Kerr can, bumps him out of the center back position with and Juan is healthy. So
right. I mean, I would prefer never to see Bordiso play fullback again, but I mean, I don't know. Like I said, this is a new coach. I'm willing to give everyone a clean slate. But based on what I've seen at Bordiso at fullback, that is not a good idea. But again, maybe he'll shock me.
I think he was okay there.
I think he's solid defensively, but going forward, he was more like playing the safe cards,
Yeah.
Right.
So you can say we have Juan, Bordiso, and Char in the center, and then we have a free role left back. That could work,
Sure. And you could almost even drift it to three center backs when let's say Angel moves up the wing, drop back and do three center backs with Berdiso, Kerr, and Juan.
Exactly.
Right. Let's go into center backs now. We're already discussing them, so we might as well just say it. So we lost Mexes and Loria, and I know everyone's sad about losing Loria this summer.
Goal of the game, that's all I'm talking about.
We have we brought in Heinze, Kjaer, and I thought there was one more. I can't find him on this right now. Maybe it was just the two of them. Am I missing anybody?
Yeah, just those guys.
Oh, I was thinking Conte, but he's young and he left.
He left, yeah.
Yeah, so we swapped two for two. In my opinion, losing Loria itself was like a godsend. And Heinze and Kjaer, I think that's a pretty decent pairing. One youth, one more experienced and older. Heinze is only on a year contract. That could be bumped up if he makes, you know, the right amount of appearances. But solid stuff. What concerned me was Kyrie's transfer saga was so dragged out. I was convinced it wasn't going to happen for a while because it looked like he was there, then he wasn't. You know, Wolfsburg wanted to. This is what confused me. I wanted to ask you guys this. Out of all the transfers we brought in, I would have thought, personally, that Kyrie would have been a for sure, a player that Sabatini would wanted to have signed permanently. But he ended up being the lone option to buy, which, I mean, I can see why. Wolfsburg had a pretty bad season last year. They were almost relegated, so maybe his confidence isn't sky high. But out of all the players you brought in, you would have thought a center back would have been for sure something we would have wanted to sign permanently. Hey, do you guys disagree with me on that?
Well, we should let Imran go on this one. He talked to, who did you talk to, his agent?
yeah, his agent. But to answer your question, you know, about Simon Kjær, the transfer itself, I think it's a safe transfer because we're sitting with all the cards, you know. We can make the transfer permanent at any time, you can say, you know. And he had a tough season behind him, but I think also there's we have to look at the financial aspect of the whole mercato, you know. We couldn't go on emptying our pockets on permanent transfer. There had to come several players on loan deals which were going to make permanent the next summer, you know.
Right, that was what I was thinking, because if you think about it, we also brought in Lamela, who came from River Plate, who were relegated, and he was bought outright. So I guess probably just the timing of the Kjaer deal, where he was at the end of the mercato, because if you think about it, Kjaer was also a loan.
Yeah, but Lamela was a different case, because, you know, River Plate, they're a cash-strapped club, you know. They needed the money at all costs, and they were even when, you know, when they were discussing the payment details, you know, they were demanding the money all at once. So they were really struggling financially. So that was never going to happen. While as for he could easily have been sold to other clubs as well. But as for Simon Kjær, it was different because he was coming off from a difficult season. It would be much more difficult to offload him. And if they did, they could end up losing him for even considerably less for what they invested in him. So the deal now, I think, satisfy all parties.
Yeah, fair enough. I didn't think it was a bad deal. I thought it was just a curious one, considering all things. How do we feel? Have we upgraded? I mean, we did lose Mexes, but we did bring in two pretty solid guys. Do we feel like we've upgraded the position?
I think it's more or less on the same level as before.
Would we say we have more depth now that we can call on, let's say, Heinze instead of Loria?
I think quality-wise, we are much better.
Maybe, but I think people overrate Heinze. I've seen him being horrible in Real Madrid, and he was okay in Manchester United. But, I mean, people praise that transfer because he has a winning mentality. So I just hope he's okay with not playing a big part in Lucille on the bench. Because if he's unhappy with that kind of role, that would be interesting to see how the locker room would be. But he's not that great, but sure, I trust him more than Loria. As for Charles, I'm so I'm uncertain if he can be as good as Maxis. Yes, he can. Will he be straight away? Perhaps not. Maybe he needs a year.
He does know Serie A pretty well. I mean, he came from Palermo, as we know. I would assume after all he went through to get him, and, you know, after him saying, after he found out Sabatini wanted him, it took him 5 seconds to decide. You got to figure he's probably going to start the season as a starter. And the question for me is who partners him. At the moment, it's looking like Verdiso. I think Juan has started to continue training. I'm not 100% sure. Is that right, Imran?
As far as I know, he's still training alternatively.
Okay, so he's still out for a while yet. So, I mean, I would rather have a rotation of Kayer, Juan Verdiso, than Juan Verdiso Cassetti. Or, you know, for what that's worth. Cassetti at center back is, for me, like Verdiso at fullback, just something I really don't want to see. But, I mean, it's a decent amount of depth. Again, worst case scenario is Cassetti as a center back, I would assume, unless you really want to start bringing in some Primavera players.
Yeah, I don't, you know, if you remember, we did the Fanta Calcio at the end of the season, and I, once again, as Alex will be happy to point out, you know, cheated on my answer and didn't go with the outrageous, and I went with something realistic, and he was my choice. And my comments at the time were, I just felt like it really kind of, it fit the project, you know, that they're trying to accomplish here. And so he's got youth, he's got room to grow, he can be a very important part of that core that, you know, they're trying to build so that in time, they'll strip off the pieces that didn't work, and then just plug in holes year over year instead of having to rebuild an entire team like they did this year. So, and I think as far as working from that center back position, you know, I mean, outside of maybe Silvestri, you know, this is a pretty good get.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fair enough. Let's move on to midfield, and I'm getting these from transfermarket.co.uk. So they count some players that, you know, I would count as forwards as attacking midfielders, so maybe this is a little different than we would have done it normally. But we brought in Lamela, Miralem Pandžić at the very end of the campaign. Let's see, who else? Viviani came back from loan. Gago was brought in on a loan. Baruso apparently came back in. Marco D'Alessandro, a youth player, came in from Livorno. Let's see, am I missing anybody? Is there anyone else you guys could think of? I think that's everybody for the most part.
Gago, did you mention it?
I think, yeah. Gago, I said he came in on a loan.
Cool.
Yeah, okay. And we let go of, let's see, Guberti went to Torino, Stojan, D'Alessandro, Brighi, as you mentioned, Valerio Verga. So, I mean, those are mostly youth players. It sounds like a lot of guys, but were they important to the team? No, it's probably better to get some experience. Menez was a big one we let go of. He went to PSG, of course. So how did we do? Have we reinforced this properly? We let go of, we loaned out quite a few guys. We really didn't bring in anybody of note until yesterday. Gago and Pandžić. And Greg, as you rightly pointed out, at the end of last season, we were pretty concerned with the midfield. Do we think these two guys can really give us that boost up in quality that we needed?
Well, I sure hope so. I think, Pjanic, which is the pronunciation I'm going with,
which is correct.
For the record, face, Julian.
Whatever. I don't know how to pronounce anything, so I'm not going to be able to do that yet.
I think he, you know, has the ability to, provide some of that creativity that, you know, last year when you were rolling out Brighi, Tadej, and Perota, or De Rossi, or whatever, you know, you're pretty much throwing out four or five guys of the same variety. So I definitely think that he can. I could have sworn I read somewhere that Luis Enrique had plans of at least thinking about using Lamela as a mid. Certainly that would bring some creativity there. The defensive guys or the more holding players or your box to box guys, I'm less worried about them. I think, you know, DDR is going to be fine. He's going to do what he does, and hopefully we get, you know, the one we all know and love back. You know, Dago's got he's got a lot to prove, and I think he's going to take advantage of this opportunity.
Dago is one of those rare players he brought in, though, who was not like 21 or under. He's 25, and he is an experienced.
Yeah, but he's not 30 though either.
Right. No. I'm saying he's one of the two guys you brought in that was, you know, right in the middle of the 20s, and he's an experienced Argentine international. So I actually thought it was a nice little variety we got there. As opposed to, you know, reinforcing the midfield with two, you know, PJ, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, Lamela, and then if we had brought in a third, you know, let's say U21 player, it would have looked a little lightweight. So Gago is a nice balance there, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's a good point.
Yeah, me too.
My only concern with Gago is he was injury prone in Real Madrid, and he's also one of the, I would call him a Real Madrid reject, just like Baptista and Coutinho. I mean, he played his role there. He was okay, but he was never good enough.
Well, let's not forget, though, that Wesley Schneider and Arjen Robben were also Real Madrid rejects. And I'm not saying he's as good as them, but Real Madrid does have a record of letting players go and then, you know, other clubs benefiting from that.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we have a tendency to get the worst ones.
they have a way of duping us, don't they?
No, he's good. Trust me, he's good.
Actually,
yeah,
I think the transfer itself is good because when you look at it, you pay 500,000 euro for the loan, and we pay 1.5 million gross salary. You know, that's it, and Real Madrid covered the rest.
Right. One thing. Sorry to interrupt you. One thing I think we should address though is this is the only loan deal I believe we have this season that didn't come with an option to buy. And we were talking about this on Twitter before. Didn't
Daniela say that it did? It just is not in the paperwork or something like that?
Right. There is a rumor, and I guess we have to call it a rumor because there's no confirmation, that there is an option to buy and that there was either a mistake with the Roma paperwork in the announcement, not in the paperwork, I shouldn't say that, but in the announcement on the official Roma site where it doesn't mention it, or that something got lost in translation between the Spanish league and the Italian league, and that Real Madrid supposedly understands that there is an option to buy, when for some reason Roma just didn't say it.
Yeah, I heard 6 million.
6.5, 6 million, yeah.
Which is pretty reasonable for, I think, even a reject. This transfer market, that's practically a steal.
Yeah, if he does anything positive, that's more than worth it. And if he doesn't, we haven't lost anything. We go out next season and get somebody who can.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the point. And the thing with him is he's really, his services are really cheap. You know, I mean, we pay. It's quite amazing what we pay for his services, given his history, his background, his experience. You know, and all this. He. I wouldn't call him a winner, but he has won. He has won a La Liga with Real Madrid, which is all right. He has won the cup, you know, the Spanish Cup, Copa del Rey. So it's a really good deal if you look at it that way. Because even if he so-called flop, I wouldn't call him a flop because we didn't lose anything financially, which is important for a club like us.
And also, I'm all for this transfer loan deal. I mean, I'm just saying even though he might not be good enough for Real Madrid anymore, he's more than good enough to be a rotation player for a midfield. I mean, he's a good passer, he has experience, and if he don't provide anything positive, as Greg said, we have other players we can rely on.
Let's head to the last aspect of the team, the strikers. So we brought in, according to Transfer Market, Kofi from Napoli, Bojan, of course, Pablo Osvaldo, which was our most expensive transfer of the summer. Caprari was brought back from loan. He counts as a striker. Borini, which was my surprise signing of the summer. I didn't see that coming from anywhere. Okaka was brought back from loan, unfortunately, in my opinion. And, of course, we let go of Vucinic. And apparently we shipped Coffee off right away to the second division in Belgium. Who knew? Filippo Scardina was loaned out. He's 19 years old. And that was about it. So strikers obviously more important this season, probably than most of last, because this season for sure we're playing with, if all goes according to Enrique's plan, you would assume we're going to play with three forward men. So it looks like we're going to have a depth of Totti, Borriello, perhaps Lamela, depending on where he's going to slot in. Definitely Osvaldo, Bojan, and perhaps even Borini. How do we feel? Is this a deep, experienced enough group to get us past most, to score on most Serie A teams?
Well, that's really tough to say, because even if they've had experience in top flight leagues, all of them, they don't have any experience with each other. None of those players that you just named. Well, if you want to call it that, I mean, they weren't on too much last season, and when they are, it was a disaster. When they were, it was a disaster.
That's true.
So, and never with this system in place. So, you know, I like the creative abilities of the forwards. I like the fact that there's, guys that can move the ball around a little bit. For years, it's always been, well, if Totti doesn't do something magical with the ball, flashing to the ball at the top of the box, no creativity is going to come from anybody else on the team. So, there's some players, you know, now that are going to be able to one touch, that are going to be able to adeptly put a through ball in the box and not have it land in like the fifth row.
And we've already seen some nice chemistry between Totti and Bojan.
Yeah, exactly. And he's going to finish. Bojan's going to finish. Give him time. I mean, the entire team cannot preach this enough. Give them time. Let them learn how to play, you know, on the pitch at the same time and learn the system. And I mentioned it earlier about Osvaldo. I think he's got, you know, some good skills with the ball around the box. And I really think that can help not only himself, obviously, but the other strikers.
Right. And I just to quickly jump in about Osvaldo, I know lots of people want to point to his prior Serie A experience, which was not, put it mildly, was not that great. But I don't think we can discount what form and continuity can do for a striker. And Osvaldo has been superb since going to Spain. So I think we have to look at this as we signed the Spanish Osvaldo and not the one that used to play for Fiorentina.
Or Bologna, that's true.
Yeah. And
because
like
I remember, sorry, go on.
No, go ahead, please.
No, because I remember when the winter of 2009, you know, when he moved to Bologna, we were also interested in him. And back then, you know, it's 2.5 years ago. And as far as I can remember, we were actually, we even inquired about him. We were entering negotiations, but we never agreed with Fiorentina. So this is a player, I think, I wouldn't say any from the management at that time, because it's all been changed, but he's a player who could have played for Roma even earlier. And I think even back then I liked him. I liked his qualities, his characteristics. I think he's a good striker, but he never got the proper opportunity to express his potential. You know, he never got the full commitment or trust from the coaches he had. So I think in Roma he has definitely matured, you know, psychologically, mentally. He's really strong now, and he's coming off 18 months with great experience behind him. He has scored 20 goals in 44 league games in La Liga. I would say La Liga is not the most difficult league to score in, but still, that's a good record right there, especially given his prior record, you know, in Fiorentina and Bologna. So he's a good signing, but I really don't like the transfer fee, because you know this is combined with Inler and Vucevic, the highest paid fee in the Italian mercato, and I think that's scary.
Right, but I don't know if that says more about the mercato or about Osvaldo, I think we'd all agree it seems a little high. But $15 million being the highest fee in any summer seems, you know, it seems like clubs are being much more conservative with financial fair play looming over them.
That's the thing, you know, and then they ask questions, you know, when clubs are being so so careful, cautious, you know, and then you go on and spend $15 million on Osvaldo. That's where the whole issue comes in.
Right, and Sabatini did say they had to spend that much because, you know, the cards were in Espanyol's hands. There was he seemed to be happy there. He was under contract. There's really no reason for him to leave. So we did have to convince them, you know, we had to pay up.
Definitely.
But I agree, that is a very high sum. He has got a lot to prove.
Definitely, and I don't deny that, because he was a wanted man, you know. I mean, we had to beat up competition from Atletico Madrid, so he could easily have been sold for even more. But then again, I think it was the negotiation skills of Sabatini who pushed the fee from $20 million, which they initially wanted, you know, to 15, with some bonuses. I think he will end up with 17.5, but that's
if he's a success.
Yeah, but that's like 10 goals, 20 goals. I think it will take some time, you know.
Yeah, he was quite okay in Italy, but it seems like he exploded in Spain, and from the people I talked to, they say he has really evolved as a player, like, very much. And I think Sabatini also said we can't really compare this Osvaldo to the Osvaldo who left Italy a few years ago. And I mean, Vucinic left and we got Osvaldo. And Osvaldo is strong, quick, he's good in the air, smart, and, you know, I just think we have, when we can compare him to Vucinic, who had a very bad year, I don't think this was a bad replacement at all.
Right. And if we look at it in terms of numbers, we sold Vucinic for 15. We brought in Osvaldo for about the same. So, I mean, it was pretty much a straight swap in terms of finances.
Yeah, but I mean, as we said, you know, he was a wanted man, while Vucinic was the opposite, because this time Juventus had the cards in their hands, you know, so we were like...
I don't know, Imran, yes and no. If you think about it, Juve did want, you know, a quality forward, and there was Rossi, there was Aguero, last winter there was Dzeko and Pazzini, all of whom opted not to go to Juve.
Honestly, I think that's bullshit with regards to Aguero and Dzeko. I think they would... It's just a common nonsense from the Juventus directors every summer. You know, they just hype up their fans, and they go on to sign Quagliarella on loan. You know, they get Matri and all these. I think when you look at it, Alexander, he knows about Torquay St. Carlson. You know, he's a scout who really knows the mercato, and he said he was like, there was no chance in hell Juventus would sign Aguero. It was like, it was never going to happen. So
right.
me personally, I think Vucinic, they were always going to get Vucinic, and perhaps they were playing these. But Rossi, they could have got him, but I think he was too expensive for them. They were never going to splash out 35 million euros on that guy.
Right. I agree with you. I think that it probably was, to an extent, some kind of fabrication. But be that as it may, I do think that they were somewhat desperate for a forward this summer. So they, like us, probably spent a little bit more than they had to on the forward they got.
True, but I think if we sold, like, Vucinic 12 months ago, we could have got 30 million euros for him.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a case of not... Well, I mean, do we want to sell him 12 months ago, though? I mean, it's a totally different question, but I do agree that he would have paid more.
That's the thing, and I think he was really upset about this is my theory. I think after the 2010 season, he was more or less literally carrying the whole team on his back, and, you know, towards the Scudetto, and in the end it didn't work out. So then he was looking to get an improved contract, you know, and then he was told there was no money for that, because he already had a contract until 2013, you know, 3 more years left. So they told him there was no money for that, and then they go on to sign Adriano, you know, on a more lucrative contract than himself. And then in the end, he was like, okay. And then in the end, they go on and find those money for Borriello. So I think he was really not happy about that. And I think you could see it really early. So he was generally, you know, as the situation evolved, it just got worse and worse with the fans. So we were really unlucky that things turned out the way it did with him, because I think we could have got really more. We could have got more from him. So it was a pity, you know.
Would we have sold him 12 months ago with Prada, we would probably get Amori and two Paninis.
That's true. I mean, we're over an hour as it is, guys. Should we do special category awards, like you know, favorite signing, least favorite signing, things like that?
I would prefer maybe a quick, you know, like Imran did on his review, like 1 to 10, kind of grade them, what we expect from them, like, you know, give them ratings.
Yeah, Stecklenburg, everyone says a number, and then...
Okay, Stecklenburg, 8.
9.
And then...
I'd go with 8. I think that's a good number.
Stecklenburg, 9.
Okay.
All right, so that's 8 for the Americans, 9 for the Norwegians.
All righty. Jose Angel, 7.
8.
7.5.
Yeah, I'm 7.5.
Okay, let's keep that same order so we know who goes in what order.
Okay.
Okay. Nago, 4.
3.
2.
Does that mean I have to say 1?
Only if you want to finish the countdown.
You know, it's so unfair to judge this guy. I've seen him play like half of one game in the under-20s.
Hey, no explaining, Greg.
Yeah. I'll be the optimist and give him a 5 for the future role that he could play.
I like how the optimist gives him a whopping 5. Yeah. Heinze, 6.5.
4.
6.5.
I'll say 6.
Did we do Jose Angel already?
Yep.
Okay. Eric Lamela, 8.
9.
9. Oh, sorry. Shit. 9. I was so excited I went out of order.
Damn it, Greg. Pablo Osvaldo, I'm going to go 8.5.
7.
7.
8.
Bohan Kjerkic, 8.
7.5.
7.5 as well.
7.5 as well.
Miralem PJ.
Pjanic.
Pjanic. 7.
7.
8.
It was 7.5. I'm more on Imran's boat with this one. I believe in the kid.
Should we count Marco Borriello, or do you not want to really count him as a champ?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, too boring, right? Fernando Gago, 7.
7?
6.
7.
Simone Cayer, 8.5.
7.
8.5 as well.
8.
7, Alex, geez. Fabio Borini, 1.
What?
Wow.
Give him a 1.
Why?
We're not allowed to explain, right? So, honestly, I don't expect him to play a single game, so I can't give him high.
But you're supposed to take into account future.
I see a future of loan deals.
All right.
He's already a loan.
I don't know.
There we go. Future's already.
I give a 6.
6. I gave us 6.5.
Yeah, I'll go 6.5 as well.
I guess I'm really pessimistic about Borini here. Do we want to count no Okaka, no Cicinho? That might be it then.
That's it then, yeah.
Yeah. How about a couple things before we end the podcast? I wanted to bring this popped into my head right before we started. as soon as Luis Enrique came in and Di Benedetto came in, there were two big fears people had. The first, and let's go with Di Benedetto since he came in first, was that Liverpool and Roma were going to have this kind of weird relationship where each club was going to offload shitty players, and then people looked at the Doni deal and like, look, here's an example, this is against fair play rules, but those fears turned out to be largely unfounded, didn't they? Besides Doni, not a single player has moved in between the two clubs. So I just wanted to point that out. And the other thing is, a lot of people were concerned Roma was going to become this haven for Barcelona B players and Spanish players. We brought in the same amount of Barcelona players as we did Real Madrid players, and that was one. And we only brought
it wasn't for lack of trying, though.
Correct. But nevertheless, it was only one. And we also only brought in two Spanish players total. I think we also brought in two Argentine. And Luis Enrique seems to be in love with our Primavera. So, and he's using a lot of these guys that were never really used before. So I wanted to point that out as well. I don't think that this xenophobia is anywhere near as credible as some might think.
Yeah, I just want to comment to that as well, because I've seen people on Facebook and on Twitter that you know, they, if not complaining, they kind of miss that we didn't go after some more Italian players like Pauli and, you know, and I, quite honestly, I don't see Inter here with just foreigners, because we have a lot of exciting Primavera players, De Rossi, Cassetti, and so I don't think it's fair to compare us with Inter, who offloaded one of the most promising Italian players in Santon. But
and Balotelli before as well.
I just wanted to also say that when people complain about us not going after the Italian players, I mean, what kind of players, Italian players, do we want? Because look at it. If we want to get better, we have to look outside, because we haven't really, Italy haven't really produced anything exciting after Giuseppe Rossi and Balotelli. I mean, they're in a slope now, so we have to produce them ourselves. And I trust in Luis Enrique, and he will give Viviani and Caprari enough playing time. So I see some people, you know, a bit disappointed in the non-Italians. But I don't agree with them.
Yeah, I'm also in total agreement with Alex, because there, you know, the lack of Italian pool and the lack of talent in the Italian pool is there. It's obvious. You can never get a goalkeeper of second worst quality in Italy, especially for not that price. He would have been massively overpriced. In fact, there is no Italian who is as good as him. And when you look at it, you would never want Viviano once you got Stekelenburg. And Pjanic, you know, there, I can't think of any Italian player with his experience who could come in and play a prominent role in Roma. And we could go on for, we can take player for player. And as Alex said, I think the Italians, not the Italians, the Romans, they will be promoted from the team. And there is already a proof of that. I think it will continue like that. And I'm fine with that. You know, I want Romans in the team and they're coming.
Yep.
I just want to say, there is one transfer I think we kind of missed out on, and that was Cassani, who left Palermo for Fiorentina. I think he would have been a very good addition to the side. And I would have liked Pauli as well. But, I mean, for comparison's sake, building off what Imran said, Bojan, at the age of 21, made 104 appearances for the senior side at Barcelona, pretty much the greatest club in the world since he debuted for them. There is not a single Italian player who, at the age of 21, made 100 appearances for any of the big sides in Italy. It's a cultural problem in Italy. And so, I mean, we brought in young players, but Bojan's more experienced than any Italian his age. So it's not young in the same way that we tend to think of them in Italy, I don't think.
So let's close up this transfer window podcast.
All right, we're going to wrap this show up. A lot of discuss, a lot of player movement, people coming in, people going out. A lot of thoughts on what happened, and I think we hit just about everything I hope that you guys were looking for. And before I say goodbye to our three panelists, if you will, the conversation I was having with one of our listeners, good friend Sari, want to echo the same comments here and say that patience. The players are saying it, the coaches are saying it, Sabatini's saying it, and I really think we have to kind of let things happen and let the season kind of go and look for improvement, look for development. I think if you do that, I think you'll really enjoy this upcoming Roma season, which we will preview in the next La Magicast. So thank you to Alex, Imran, Julian. This is Greg. Grazie Roma.
Like us on Facebook.
Yes, like us on Facebook, please. Peace.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao.